Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series on financial stewardship. I'm nearing the end of my fourth week, and I have this product, this album entitled Financial Stewardship. This is a CD album. Of course, we also have this in DVD form. It was taken from our television programs. And I've been teaching on this for a number of reasons, but one of the main reasons is because of the economic crisis that is rocking the world. And you hear so much negative information about it, and it affects people. There are people that are literally killing themselves. I can think of one family. I think it was either six or seven people in the one family that they committed suicide. There's been a number of these investors that have committed suicide. And of course, although that's certainly an overreaction and an extreme reaction, it's not indicative of everybody. There's a lot of people that are really stressed out about this, and there's no reason to be. First of all, it's being misrepresented. Some people are presenting this in the same category as the Great Depression. And at the beginning of this, and even back in the month of December, 2008, I took the statistics from the Great Depression and compared them with now, and there really is no comparison. I mean, not even close. Like, the foreclosure rate was 50%, I think it was, and now the foreclosure rate, they're talking about 4%, 6%, which even though that's, you know, that still reflects that there's a lot of people in trouble, it's not even in the same ballpark. The unemployment rate was up to 25%. I think it was actually 24.9%. And now the unemployment rate is 6%, 6-point-something percent. Again, there's no comparison. So some people, see, are just misrepresenting and using fear techniques to get ratings and coverage and just typical carnal human things where people overstate and exaggerate for the purpose of drawing attention to something. And then there's a lot of people that are shaken in their faith and they don't know where to go and know what to do. But the Scripture teaches us on how to prosper. And when you do things God's way, a Scripture that I've referred to very often is Philippians 4:19, where the Apostle Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That was written to people who were partners with Him, people who were trusting God, who were specifically, according to the teachings that I've been giving, they were using their prosperity first and foremost to bless people, to promote the gospel, to establish the kingdom. And when you do that, when you start stewarding your money, that means it's not yours, but it's God's. And you're going to follow God's guidance. This is His book. This is His instructions about what to do. When you start doing it that way and you give and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these things, what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with, are added unto you, and God will take care of you. And this is a great time if you've been burned, if you've overextended yourself, if you haven't used wisdom in your finances and you've bought into this world economy to just buy and spend and do everything up to the max, and you haven't been putting the priority on just living a contented life with less than maybe what somebody else has, but in a way that you are well taken care of, and then you use your money to bless and to give. If you aren't living to give, then that's one of the reasons that you've struggled. And it's a time to make an adjustment and get into God's system of doing this, and as you put God and His kingdom first, God will take care of you. He'll bring you out of this situation. And if the next time the economy busts, you know what? You will be one of those that's able to say that it hadn't affected you, that God is meeting your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, I hesitate to just keep giving the same testimony over and over because I know many of you watch this program every day. But at the same time, there's many of you that you're just, you know, that you're just passing by, and this may be the only time you've ever seen this program. And it's just appropriate for me to say that my personal life and my ministry are bucking the trend. Most nonprofits are laying off people, cutting back. We're expanding. We are hiring. We're setting records and income and everything because we are operating in God's system, and He gives seed to the sower. If He can find a person who sows, God will get seed to him. That's what God is doing to me. And then Jamie and I, our personal investments that we've had have actually gone up 26%. Our investments in the stock market over the last few months have increased 26% instead of going down. Again, I know that for those of you who watch every day, you've heard this, but I just think that that is such a testimony, not to me, not to my smartness. I didn't have anything to do with it. Not in the ministry. You know, this really, it made me chuckle, but boy, this fits the point I'm making right here. My mother just turned 96 years old on January the 1st. And I was down visiting with her, and she was asking about the ministry, and I was telling her about how blessed we are and how everything's going and how we've started these Bible schools, and I've been seeing people over in Russia and Africa and all over the world. And she was just asking questions, and I was visiting and telling her all of these things. And my mother looked at me and she says, "You know this is God. You know it's God blessing you." She says, "You aren't smart enough to do all this stuff." And I tell you what, that does something to you. If there was any ego, it really takes it out of you when your mother says, "You aren't smart enough to do all that." But I knew exactly what she's talking about, and it's absolutely true. I tell you, I've testified that we saw a 26% increase in our investments that are in the stock market. This is Jamie and me personally. I'm not smart enough. Jamie's not smart enough. But you know what? We've prayed, and God blessed us. The Lord told Jamie to change some of our investments in the very beginning of 2008. The man who was investing my money did some things. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. But you know what? It is connected to the fact that we're givers. And God gives seed to sowers. And He blesses those who will use their money for other people and bless people instead of just taking it all for themselves. This ministry, we aren't able to forecast what's going to happen and all of these things. There's no way we could have prepared for the things that begin to happen in October of 2008. It's not because we're the smartest people around. We aren't the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I'm telling you, God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves somebody who is not just trying to consume everything on themselves and build a kingdom, but instead is trying to build His kingdom. And I'm saying that I know that this is where my heart is. We have proven it. We have given away over 6 million pieces of material. And you know what? God loves that. And because we are using our ministry and our assets and everything we've got to preach the gospel and to touch people's lives, and we're reaching people that some other ministries don't reach because you can't get their materials if you don't have the money, we will give our materials. And there's around 50% of the people who contact us that don't give a thing, and we go ahead and supply it for them. And because of this, God just keeps supplying us with finances. And we keep growing while other ministries are shrinking. And you can say what you want to. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm not saying it to pat me on the back. I'm not smart enough to have done this. But the one smart thing I have done is that I've learned to live to give. Man, I am putting the majority of everything we can. We're putting as much as we can into the kingdom. And because of that, God blesses that. If He can get it through you, He's going to get it to you. Man, that's powerful. I know that I've already taught on these things, and I know that some of you say, "Well, I've heard you say this before, let's move on." But that is so rare. That is rare as hen's teeth that people live this way, and it just needs to be said over and over and over. And even if you've heard it, you know what? I'm going to keep saying it until you start living it. You need to hear it. We need to develop this attitude of a steward, and that this money isn't just for us to consume upon ourselves. It's so that we can be a blessing to other people. I started talking about the tithe yesterday, and we used Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, and contrasted that with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And there are two different motivations. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, "You've robbed God. in tithes and in offering. You are cursed with the curse. In contrast to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, let every man give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, as if, you know, you're robbing God and you're going to be cursed and punished if you don't do it. Those look like opposite things. And you know what? They are. They're opposites. And so somebody says, well, how do you reconcile these two things? If the Word of God is truly communicated by God, and if it doesn't contradict itself, how do you harmonize this? The way you harmonize it is that under the Old Covenant, there were a number of commands. And all of these commands were followed with punishments. And it's because people under the Old Covenant couldn't get their heart changed. They didn't become new creatures. They weren't born again. What they had to do was just restrain themselves. They had a fallen nature that was corrupt. And they had all of these lusts and things. But what they did is they would submit themselves and yield to God and obey. And if they didn't obey, it was very similar to the way we treat a child. It's only a temporary way of dealing with the situation. Likewise, before people could be born again and get their nature changed and have God move on the inside of them and the Holy Spirit begin to start speaking to them and giving them internal direction. Well, prior to that time, you treated people under the law as if you don't tithe, you're cursed with the curse, and here's what's going to happen to you. Now that we can be born again, now that the love of God has moved on the inside of us and we have the Holy Spirit, it's different. God is not going to curse you with a curse as it reads in Malachi chapter 3. That was a part of the Old Testament law, the curse, not the tithing. Tithing existed before the Old Testament law was given, but the curse and the negative motivation, the fear that drove people to give, is a part of the curse. That is gone. And now you should not be giving just because you are afraid that you're going to be cursed with the curse if you don't give. That's the wrong motivation. And I've already used all these scriptures, but over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you give your all of your goods to feed the poor, or even if you give your body to be burned, and if you don't do it by love, it profits you nothing. The motive behind your gift is more important than your gift. So if you have been giving because it's a debt, because God's going to get you if you don't do it, if you give not expecting anything, oh God, I'm just trying to keep you appeased, don't judge me because here's my tithe, then you have totally voided the benefit of your gift to yourself. Now, whoever you give to, the church, the ministry, the person, they may benefit, but you aren't going to receive any return off of it. And you know, this ought to be obvious, that the motive you give in is just as important or even more important than the amount that you give. This ought to be obvious, because if all there was to prosperity is Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If that's all there was to prosperity, well then, every one of you who have been giving on a regular basis should be millionaires by now. If you got a hundredfold return, 100 times everything you've ever given, then you ought to be very prosperous. But many of you can say, well, it's not. I haven't seen that return. It's because the motive, the attitude of your heart, can totally void that gift. Again, it might bless the people you give it to, but it voids your return. And I think that most people today have been giving under this Old Testament mentality to where it's a debt. You're robbing God. You're cursed with the curse if you don't give. And if you give with that mindset, that is completely opposite the New Testament grace. And it will void the benefit. And that's the exact reason that many of you haven't seen the hundredfold return off of your gift, is because of the attitude it was given in. Let me go back again to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. I made this point. I want to just amplify a little bit. He didn't say that you only rob God if you don't pay your tithes. You're also robbing God if you don't pay your offerings. Now, for those of you who believe that, oh no, we still are robbing God and God is going to curse us with the curse if we don't do this, then that means that if you don't give the tithe, which is 10%, plus the offerings, which some people have estimated this to be a total of at least 33% of everything you get, then you're cursed with the curse. If you are going to say this, you can't just sit there and only preach this about the tithes. If you're going to be scriptural, look at this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. If you are going to be scriptural, you can't just pull the tithes out and say, that's the only way you rob God. No, you're robbing Him if you don't give these offerings. That makes the offerings mandatory. And that means that if you're giving less than 33%, you're under a curse. You know, there's probably no person watching this program who is giving that much under this law mentality. You need to crawl out from under this. This is not something that you want to live under. This was an Old Testament punishment attached to the things. For instance, in the very next verse, it says, you are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. That's in verse 9. Put this in contrast with Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. That's a curse of the law. It's a curse. Christ redeemed us from this. He became a curse for us. And for you to say, well, if I haven't paid my tithes, God can't bless me. God can't use me. God's anger is on me. I'm cursed with the curse. You, in a sense, are just voiding what Jesus has done for you and saying, I know that He died and became a curse so that I'd never be cursed, but I haven't done what I should, and so I'm cursed. You're putting yourself back before Jesus came. You are nullifying, doing away with Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus came and bore your curse. And I'm going to say some things here that are radical, but you know what? You aren't cursed if you don't tithe. And somebody, well, right there in Malachi chapter 3, you are cursed with the curse. Again, that is a curse of the law. Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. I'll say it this way. You aren't very smart if you don't tithe. Those of you who have been listening to my old teaching, I've talked about this over and over and over about the reason that God prospers us is so that He can establish His kingdom here, so that we can have to give to Him that needs, so that we can abound unto every good work. God gives seed to the sowers. And so, yes, God wants you to give. I have been talking about giving. Tithing is a beginning place. I believe we're supposed to tithe. But you know what? If you don't do it, I don't think you're very smart. But you aren't cursed. God's not mad at you. God's not punishing you. It's not God that's caused your business to fail and things happen because you didn't tithe. And there's people under the New Covenant that are living today who are preaching that if you don't tithe, the wrath of God is coming upon you. And there are church members by the millions shelling out their tithe, trying to buy an indulgence from God, trying to buy God's blessing by their giving. And I tell you, God cannot be bought. He gave a price for you freely, voluntarily, before you ever existed. Before you ever did anything good or bad, and He's already paid. And according to Galatians 3, 12, 13, He has redeemed you from this curse of the law. You are not cursed if you don't tithe. You aren't very smart. You're stupid. I'm saying that in love, but it's not smart not to give. But God loves you. God's not mad at you. You need to give out of the right motive. And I tell you, the tithe, the way that it's been presented nowadays in the modern church, I believe, is presenting the wrong motivation, and it needs to change. And I'm not here trying to make other people look bad. I remember back when I was still a teenager, and they asked me to give a testimony about tithing. I've tithed. I don't ever remember not tithing. When I was a little kid, my parents would give me a dollar allowance per week, and I'd give the whole dollar in the offering. And you know what? I always had money. I remember my brother and sister, I'd keep a little jar where I'd keep all my pennies and nickels and dimes and stuff. And my brother and sister were always robbing me and leaving IOUs. I had one jar that was full of IOUs and then the money jar. I always have had money because you know what? I have always given. God has always blessed me. So they asked me to give a testimony. And I remember the person right in front of me got up and talked about how wonderful God was and how that they give because they've been blessed and they want to give back unto God. I got up and I said, "Fooey on that. You are demanded to tithe. If you don't tithe, the wrath of God is coming upon you. God's going to turn you into a pile of ashes." I taught that. That's what I was taught. And I remember saying that. And I stood up as a teenager and said things like that, based on Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But I'm telling you that you've been redeemed from that. And if you would now give as you purpose in your heart, in other words, you just decide. I believe 10% is certainly a great place to start. I think under the grace of God, with the salvation we have, we shouldn't be giving less than they gave under the Old Testament. If anything, we ought to be giving much, much more. So I believe that the tithe is still a great thing to do, but not with the Old Testament mentality of Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. I've been redeemed from the curse of not tithing. And if you can embrace that, there are many of you that if you would just change your heart, not change your giving. If you've been tithing in the past, continue to tithe, but now do it saying, "Father, I now realize that I don't have to do this. You aren't mad at me. You've redeemed me from the curse. But I am so thankful that you freed me from this bondage and this debt and this obligation. I'm so thankful for the grace that you've given me that I'm going to still give. But now it is just totally free. I don't have to do this to buy your goodness. You've extended that to me through Jesus. I'm giving because I love you. And I want to bless your kingdom and help see it established." If you would give with that new attitude, that right attitude, I tell you, you would enjoy it a lot more. There's no joy in giving when it's taken from you. But when it's free is when you really enjoy it. You would be blessed much, much more. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you would start seeing a supernatural harvest come off of the giving with the right attitude. That's what we've been talking about, and I'm going to continue to talk about this on our program tomorrow, even into next week. So I encourage you to listen in then. Listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get this teaching on financial stewardship. You need this teaching. It would be a blessing to you. So please listen, please contact us, and join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album, The Tithe, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Today, as I was talking about finances, I was touching on some things that I go into great depth in this book to explain about that the war is over. There is a difference between the way God dealt with people in the Old Covenant and the way He deals with people in the New Covenant. It's not that God changed, but we have changed. We are now born again, and God leads us now and draws us by love instead of driving us by fear. This book on the war is over is one of the best teachings I've ever done on this, and today it would supplement what we've talked about, so we're going to offer this to you. I encourage you to call in or write in and request this book on The War Is Over.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and I want to just encourage you to check out our Charis Bible College in Chennai, India. We have some of our graduates, Russ Forgeston, David, his son, and Judith, his daughter-in-law, that have been in India for well over a year, maybe 2 years now ministering, and now they are starting this Charis Bible College of India. And they're going to take the things that not only have worked in their life, but they have been ministering and sharing these truths with other people, and they've been seeing Indians' lives change. And I believe you could be one of them. And you know, the most important thing you will ever do in your life is to take the Word of God into your life and let it transform you. I know that in India, there is a tremendous emphasis put on education, and it's a way of advancing yourself, improving your status in life, and I understand that. But I can promise you that there is nothing more important than you understanding God's Word. Whatever it is that God is leading you to do, you'll do it better. You'll do it with more effectiveness if you put God first. You know, the Scripture says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added unto you." So I'd like to just encourage you to put God first. And this Bible college is a tremendous way of doing that.
We thank you again for your interest in Charis Bible College and hope to see you on campus soon, being transformed by the power of the Word. For more details, go to our website at www.awmi.net and click on the Bible College link. Or call our helpline at 719-635-1111.
So God bless you as you seek first the kingdom of God. I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 a.m, 1 p.m, and then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. Remember, this is April the 19th through the 22nd, Merritt Island, Florida, at the East Coast Christian Center.